Welcome back, everybody. This is the Topsoil Podcast. I'm your host today, Trent Stout with Stout Seed in Ainsworth, Iowa. Look me up on Twitter at Seed Junkie, and can also find me on Facebook at Stout Seed. That being said, Mitchell in the last episode posed the question around sustainability and conservation, and maybe my overall thoughts of where we should be headed or what's the mindset we should have in, around these topics moving forward. And when it comes to these topics, I think the first thing that we have to address is the difference between, you know, sustainability and economic sustainability. And so that's when I talk about sustainability, I'm typically talking about how can we be more conservation minded and also economically stable. And so the first thought that comes to my mind is vertical integration of enterprises. So how can we vertically integrate enterprises on a farm to become economically sustainable and also have a positive outcome on the environment? And so with that, you know, the introduction of cover crops, the introduction of carbon management to the farm is something that's very important. It's also something I think through direct marketing can be very profitable. And so as you layer multiple different enterprises to hedge profitability, you can sell that story. One of the big questions I always hear when it comes to direct marketing is surrounded around the story and how to tell the story. Well, I think it's important that we recognize a trend with consumerism in America, and that is the overall trend of where is my food coming from? And I think as farmers, we don't do a good enough job at answering that question. So I think there's room for us to explore some labeling to be able to answer that question in a way that puts trust in, that builds trust with the consumer, but also helps tear down some of these labels and also some of these institutions that control the marketing in America. So a good example of this would be if you have livestock and you're going to market your livestock to the end user, and you're doing that through documentation on Facebook, Twitter, social media, constantly of how you're raising that animal before it winds up on a consumer's plate. And that process of how you raise something we found to be effective. That is why the organic label has gained so much traction in America. We have to recognize that consumers overall have very little knowledge of where their food comes from, how it's raised, or what a lot of these labels even mean. There was a great article that was posted on a Facebook group that I'm a part of that talked about the unsustainability from a carbon footprint standpoint of organic farming. So in other words, if America was to switch to 100% organic production, it would not be sustainable in the long run. I think there is some basis for this. I think when we look at the reduction of yield, when we look at the carbon impact that we have on tillage, anti-conservation practice of tilling ground continuously to protect yourself against weeds has a net negative impact overall in a global supply market. So that being said, there's a place to be carved out for a regenerative agriculture standard, a standard that actually goes to fit both the conservation need that we need when it comes to nitrate leaching, when it comes to a lot of the problems that we see from conventional agriculture, to also a quality need from the consumer. And I think that those needs can meet somewhere in a space that can be carved out by individual practices within a farming enterprise. And so ultimately, when someone asks me a question about sustainability, these are my thought processes. One, make sure there's a great, I think Gabe Brown maybe shows this in his presentation, or maybe he's actually gets credit for the quote. I'm not sure about that. But you know, he says if you're removing more carbon than you're putting back into the system while farming, then you will not, your kids will not farm after you. And so that's kind of my approach here, in the sense that we need to switch to a farming carbon mindset. And what that means is that we need living, active plants dying. We need active living plants, and we need dying species at all times within a calendar year on your farm. This is the basis for regenerative agriculture. This is how nature works. When you look in nature, you constantly have living and dying species all around you. And so this is what helps feed the soil. This is what helps create healthy soil systems, supports the biology within the soil. And because of this, there is a movement that would make the claim that you actually get more nutrient-dense food from this practice. If this is true, and if the consumer would decide that this is valuable, I think there would be premium that could be captured within this thought process. Overall, the farmer then becomes more in control of how they market and where they market this to, therefore leading to better profitability. So overall thoughts, just in sustainability in general, what are some of the things that we look at? I think one thing to keep that maybe is overlooked that you should pay attention to, no matter what your farming practice, is nitrogen to bushel ratios, or nitrogen to output ratios. So how many pounds of nitrogen does it take for me to produce set amount of crop? Since nitrate leaching is one of the major topics when it comes to sustainability, and nitrate leaching seems to be the big hot topic around sustainable agriculture, I think it's important for us to look at that metric within our own operations to get a good grasp on that. Currently in our business, we look at hybrids. We evaluate hybrids based on that metric. So in other words, how many bushels of corn can we produce with this hybrid, and what's its response to nitrogen? So if I have 160 pounds of nitrogen on, can this hybrid produce 200 bushels of corn? If it can, then it's at a 0.8 ratio. This 0.8 ratio is the basis for how we evaluate everything when it comes to nitrogen bushel ratios. So if it's above a 0.8, we classify that hybrid as a hybrid or a nitrogen hog, or in other words, it is not a very efficient user of nitrogen. We tend to shy away from these products as they are not good for the environment, but they're all, as you have to apply more synthetic fertilizers to get the same outputs. But overall, they're less economical. So they don't return to you in dollars at the end of the year as much as they could. We tend to look at hybrids as being good hybrids if they can beat the 0.8 metric. So if I'm putting on 160 pounds of nitrogen and I'm getting 220 pounds of, or 220 bushels from 160 pounds, I'm beating that 0.8 metric, and therefore this is a sustainable hybrid. And I've seen those metrics go anywhere from 0.4 as the lowest, all the way up to 1.1. And if you're getting 1.1, that is not economically nor environmentally sustainable. So that is where we start when we evaluate these things. And I think it's something that, if just for good practice, is a metric that you can easily look at after this year's crop and make evaluations on the hybrids that you're currently using. So those are kind of general thoughts and a little bit about a metric that we use when we talk about sustainability and conservation. The question that I would like to pose to Mitch, I'm curious on, is I actually just came from a meeting where we talked about 60-inch rows in corn production. There's a lot of benefits that can come from a economically sustainable 60-inch row corn program. One of these could be, you know, the fact that you could produce and harvest another crop in that growing season in between those 60-inch rows. You could also have a other crop that produces nitrogen in those 60-inch rows to therefore give you organic nitrogen sources. to feed your corn plant, which again would play into conservation. But there's also a economically sustainable cover crop application here where we can not have to fight that fall window and get a cover crop established earlier in the growing year. So with that being said, what are the nutrient impacts of a 60-inch row cropping system, in your opinions, good and bad? Mitch, I'd love to hear your feedback on that, as well as if you have any experience with any of your growers that are currently trying to work within that system. Look forward to talking to you. Hit me up if you got any questions. If you would like me to elaborate more on that nitrogen metric that we use, or any other metrics that we find valuable that I maybe haven't shared here within this episode or any other episode. So I appreciate you tuning in. Look forward to talking to you. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, and I hope that this next year is a profitable one for you.